I want to thank everybody for coming. Every Thursday night, or most Thursday nights, we have the Parsha share. This week we're privileged to have Rabbi Schachter, who many times over the past, now its third year, has always said yes to me, and I appreciate it immensely. In addition, just to tell everybody, anybody who wants to put their email down, it's an email list that I send out on Thursday about it. Next week is Rabbi Wiener. And the week after is Yehoshua Katz, who's in YU Smicha, and one of the younger, older statesmen of the shul.
Thank you, Howie, very much. A big yasher koach to Howie for putting together this year a pretty regular Thursday night shiur. It's amazing what one person can accomplish. Howie had an idea that we should have a shiur. So for the last 2 years, we have a shiur, and it's a tribute to you. The shiur this evening is a memory of Bruce Ritholtz, Baruch Le Ben Mordechai Yidla Kohen Vidaba Chaya, who was a wonderful friend of so many of us from the time that he and Michelle and Annie and Donnie and Talia moved into town. Developed a very warm and close relationship. He loved learning. He loved davening. He was Osek B'Tzorchei Tzibur Be'emunah in a very profound way at Lincoln Square Synagogue that he and Michelle made their home for so many years, and then here. And together with Michelle was an exceptional Baal Chesed and Baal Tzedakah. We remember him and mark the fact that turns out that Shabbos Bereishis was his bar mitzvah parsha. And actually tonight and tomorrow, the 26th day of Tishrei, was his birthday. He would have been 60 years old tonight and tomorrow. It's Chaval al da'avdin, and we remember him, and it's a privilege for me to be able to devote the shiur to his memory. The shiur is also devoted to the memory of Larry Knapp, of my son-in-law, Rabbi Jonathan Knapp's father. Eliezer Yechiel ben Dov Ber Verivka passed away tonight, and tomorrow is the actual 40th Yahrzeit. Our son-in-law John was a little boy when his father passed away, and he knows that he had a doctorate in engineering and was very highly regarded as a professional, and he consulted with governments all over the world on issues relating to energy and power. And he remembers Philippines and Portugal and Spain, and he was very highly respected in his field. And in addition, whoever our son-in-law John spoke to about his father always remarked about his menschlichkeit and his decency and his kindness, and that's certainly a legacy that has been carried on in his family. So we mark his passing this evening, 40th Yahrzeit, Eliezer Yechiel ben Dov Ber Verivka. We're starting with Shabbos Bereishis, and so I thought this would be a good opportunity to step back a little bit from the parsha itself and to focus on the commentary of Rashi, which we begin to analyze as well. If you don't have a copy of the handout, please just make sure you're sitting next to somebody who has a copy of the handout. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, on the last line of the first page, where the arrow is, Amar Rab Yehuda, Amar Rab Huna Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Ami, Laolam Yashlim Adam Parshiyosav Im Hatzibor, Shnai Mikra Ve'echot Targum. So we know that we have a principle that we should read the parsha, we should ourselves not only be listening to the Baal Kori on Shabbos, but everyone should read, and there's a question about whether women are also included in this or not, but should be, potentially women are also included in this. La'olam yashlem adam parshiyosev v'matzibu, we should read the pasuk twice, and we should read the targum once. Next page, top of page 2, afilu Ateres v'divon, even a pasuk Rashi she'ein bo targum. So we should read it three times. We should read the pasuk three times. If it has a targum, targum here is targum onkelos. We should read it twice with the Targum, if not afilu ataras vadivan. Shekola mashlam parshiyosav v'matzibur ma'arichan lo yamav ushnosav. If we complete the Torah cycle with the tzibur, then we will have ma'arichan lo yamav ushnosav. So the question is, do we have to finish it that week? Do we have to finish it that month? Do we have to be done by the end of the year? Can we cram all the way at the end and knock off all of Sefer Devarim in one night? That's a whole discussion. What I want to focus on is the issue of the Targum, of the issue of the translation. So if you look at Tosfos, go back to page 1. Shnayim Mikra Ve'echa Targum. So Tosfos says it doesn't have to be specifically Targum Onkelos that we're familiar with. Yesh Mefarshim V'hu Adin L'Loazos B'Laz Shelohen. So if you know French, you could read it in French translation, you could read it in English translation. The point is to have a translation. So you read the text in a translation. It doesn't have to dafka be Targum Onkelos. Any translation works. Havik Kemo, next page, Targum. Shemefaresh Lefa'amin. It explains it regularly, and so any explanation, God bless you, any explanation regularly is good enough. Veloni here, Tosos quotes that in the name of the Yesh Mefarsha, but he says he disagrees. I don't agree. Sharei Targum Mefaresh B'Masha Ein Lilmod Min HaIvri. Tosos points out that Onkelos is not just simply a translation, but it's actually a commentary, and a commentary in the sense that it fills in the gaps, it elaborates. There's a lot of material in the Targum that you don't have in a straightforward translation. So therefore, you have to do Targum, and a translation is not going to work. The Rambam Paskins, in Perek Yud Gimel of Hilchos Tvila, on page 2, the next entry, straightforward, quotes the Gemara, V'alfa pisha adam shomea kol ha-Torah kula b'chol Shabbos b'tzibur, even though everybody hears the entire Torah when they come to shul and they hear the Baal Kore, chayav likros la'atzmo b'chol shavua v'shavua, seder shal oso Shabbos, you have to read the Parsha, Shnayim Mikra Ve'echa Targum. The Rambam here just says Targum, and doesn't tell us what Targum. Is it only Targum Onkelos? Might it be another Targum? So the Rambam here is not clear. Which brings us now to the middle of the right-hand side of page 2. The Smag is a book called the Sefer Mitzvos Gadol, that was written by Rav Moshe of Kusi, who lived in France in the middle of the 13th century. He lives in France in the middle of the 13th century. Rabbi Moshe Mikusi, or in Hebrew, Kuf Vav Tzadi Yud. It's a town in France, and that's where he lives. He wrote a Sefer HaMitzvos. The Sefer HaMitzvos Gadol is divided into two parts. There's a Mitzvos Aseh section and a Mitzvos Lo Aseh section. Like we're familiar with the Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam, unlike the Sefer HaChinuch, which follows the Parsha and goes straight, the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvos, on which this was patterned, divides up the positives and the negatives. So now we're at the end of Mitzvos Aseh Yud Tes. He's talking here about third line, Chayav Adam Lahashlim Pashiyosa Vima Tzibur Shnai Mikra Vecha Targum Va'ani Danti, where it's underlined. He says, Va'ani Danti Lifnei Rabosai, I had a conversation with my teachers, Sheha Perush Mo'il Yoser Min HaTargum. Well, how do you translate the word HaPerush? The commentary. HaPerush is even better than Targum. I had to engage my teachers in this conversation. V'hodu li rabosa, and they were masking to me that the Perush is even better than the Targum. And then he says, it's not so simple. V'lo nira le Rabbi Yitzchak, Rav Amram, maybe only the Targum, maybe not the Perush. But he had a consensus between him and his teachers that the Perush is even better than the Targum, which means that you could study Shnayim Mikra, the Echad Perush. The Mordechai, who lived at the end of the 13th century, who died at the end of the 13th century, lived the second half of the 13th century, quotes this statement, Ubesefer Mem Gimel Kasav. I came to this Mordechai many years ago, and I had no idea what the Sefer Mem Gimel was. Ubesefer Mem Gimel Kasav, Vizel Shono, quote, Danti Lifnei Rabosai, Shehapirush Moel Yosem and Hatargum Vechein Horu Rabosai. And then, later on, God was good to me, and I fell onto the Smag, and I realized that the Mem Gimel in the Mordechai is in fact the Smag, and sure enough, he quotes it word for word once again. were now at the end of the 13th century, HaPeirush. The Rosh Rabbeinu Asher, who was a Chavrusa of the Mordechai, they both studied in the yeshiva of the Maharam Mirutenberg. Rabbi Meir of Rothenburg was the Rebbe of both of them. Second half, towards the end of the 13th century, in Ashkenaz, Yesh Mefarshim, where it's underlined, Duhu Adin L'chol Halo Azos Laz Shelohen Havikemo Targum, that any translation works the way Tosfos begins, V'lo Nehira, and he quotes Tosfos's disagreement that not every translation works, V'nira, where the little carrot is on the right, Sha'akore Be'Perush HaTorah Yotze Bo Yedei Targum, Kivin Shemifurosh Bo Kol Mila Umila. If you study the Perish, it's good enough. The others say it's even better than the Targum. He says it's comparable to the Targum because it explains every word. So, by now, you should realize, and I'm sure you do, that the Perish, with a Hey HaYediyah, Ha Perish is a reference to Rashi. Rashi was so accepted that you didn't even have to say Rashi, you just said the Perush, and everybody knew what you were talking about. Rashi died in 1104, at the beginning of the 12th century. We're now in the middle of the 13th century. So in a little over 100 years, without tweeting and without attachments to email, just and without printing, Rashi's commentary in a little bit over 100 years became the commentary. And if you want to talk about Rashi, all you have to do is say the commentary. So my first point is for us to realize how accepted, how popular Rashi was very shortly after, relatively shortly after he wrote his commentary, in a world where they traveled by donkey from place to place and they copied everything by hand. Top of page 3, the Tur Paskins, where now the Tur is the son of Rabbeinu Asher. So we're now in the 14th century, and by now the Rush and his family moved to Spain, so now we're living in Spain. The Im Lomed, he talks here about the obligation of Shnai Mikra Vechot Targum at the top of page 3. The Im Lomed HaParsha BePerush Rashi. Now, Baruch Hashem, you know that I'm not saying something that isn't true, and you know it's Mamish Rashi. If you study the Parsha with Rashi, Choshev Kamo Targum, She'ein kavanas ha-targum elo she'yavin ha'inyan. The whole purpose of the Targum is that you should be able to understand it. So Rashi serves that purpose. And the Beis Yosef, the left side of the top of page 3, I forgot to write Beis Yosef, and I underline, quotes the Rush, quotes the Smag, quotes the Mordechai, the three sources that we saw, and he concludes where it's underlined at the end. This is kind of typical for some halachic authorities. You know what? I'm not really sure whether Rashi counts for the Targum or not. So, do both. Cover your bases. Make sure that, do a little bit extra. V'yereishamayim yetzayas kulam v'yikra ha-targum uperish Rashi. So this way you know you're good to go. If it's Targum, you got the Targum. If it's Rashi, you're okay. And that's all fine. And he paskins that lahalacha in the Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi Yosef Karo, at the bottom of page 3. In Simon Reish Pei Hei, Likros HaParsha, Shnai Mikro Ve'echot Targum, Siv Beis, in Lomad HaParsha, BePerush Rashi, Choshev Kamo Targum, V'yereish HaMayim, Yikro Targum, V'gam Perush Rashi. So it's actually shockingly astounding how this is the only commentary that is remotely in the Parsha of Targum. It's the only commentary, and it's very soon after Rashi appeared onto this world, that his commentary has the distinction of taking the place of Targum, according to this opinion, and sufficing Shnayim Mikra Ve'echad Rashi. Which brings us now to two Rashis on our Parsha. Top of page 4. The first Rashi I want to look at is the first Rashi in Chumash, the first Rashi on our Parsha this coming Shabbos. Bereishis bara Elokim es ha-shamayim ve-es ha-aretz. In case you forgot from last year, and you weren't at Minyan this morning, you didn't hear, or you missed the Simchas Torah because you were in a different place by the time we got to Chazon Bereishis. So I'm reminding you, Bereshis Bara Elokim Es HaShamayim Ves Haaretz. Zot Rashi. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Lo haya tzarech lahaschil es haTorah ela me'achodesh hazeh lochem. The first Rashi in Chumash does not address the pshat of what does it mean in the beginning God created heaven and earth, but he addresses the question of why do we need at all. Why do we need that? If the Bible is a book of laws, so start from the first law. Start from Achodesh Hazeh Lochem, which is in the middle of Parshas Bo. It's not a storybook, it's a law book, it's a code book. It identifies what the mitzvahs are. And then he says, no, we really need to know the backstory because we have to establish our connection to the land, and that's really important, and that's why we have Bereshis Noach Lech Lecha, etc., etc. Not for a legal purpose, but for a conceptual historical purpose. Rashi prefaces his remarks by quoting this question in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak. Now, just so happens that we wonder who this Rabbi Yitzchak was. Who is this Rabbi Yitzchak? Rashi's father's name, what is Rashi? Rashi is Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchak. What should it have been? Like Rambam or Ramban? It should have been Rashbi. Problem was that they already hoisted Rashbi up to the rafters of the stadium because Rashbi was already, his number was retired. Rashbi is done already. Who's Rashbi? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So that's taken. Can't use Rashbi. So we end up with Rashi Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki, which means son of Yitzchak. In English, Rambam is Maimonides, son of Maimon, Nachmanides, and in fancy academicese, Rashi is known as Isaacides. Isaacides means, like Maimonides, the son of Isaac. We don't know anything about Rabbi Yitzchak, the father of Rashi, except Rashi once quotes him in his commentary to Maseches Avodah Zarah. If you look on the top right-hand side, there's a whole sugya in Avodah Zarah here that is not for now, and Rashi gives an interpretation of a particular Talmudic text, Loshon, he says, Loshon Abba Mori Minuchoso Kavod. This is the language, this is what I heard from my revered father, may he rest in peace, V'hunira Be'enai. And I think he's onto something. And he's correct, and I accept my father's commentary. With this in mind, let's take a look at the Taz in his commentary on the Torah. So we're familiar with the Taz from a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. Taz stands for Turei Zahav. As I always say all the time, his mother did not say, Tazala, Kimahir, Tazala, do me a favor, throw out the garbage. Did you clean behind your ears last night? What was his name? She called him by his name. His name was David Halevi. Davidel. She probably didn't say Davidel either. I don't know what she said in Poland in the 17th century. The Taz died in 1667. The Taz, that is Rav David Halevi, who wrote the Taz on the Shulchan Aruch, wrote a super commentary on Rashi. Rashi also is distinguished in the fact that there are hundreds of books that are written just to explain Rashi. Not a separate commentary on the biblical text, but a super commentary, it's called. Rashi is the text, and they're commenting on Rashi. One of them is the Divrei David. The first Divrei David in Bereshis, the middle on the right-hand side, quotes Rashi, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, and he says the following. Nahirna, Rabbi David Alevi, died 1667, middle of the 17th century. Nahirna, I remember, Kad Havina Talia, when I was a little boy, Roisi Ksav Echad Yoshan Noshan Ma'od Biur Rashi. I once saw a very old commentary that was written about Rashi. Kosovo was written in this super commentary on Rashi that I saw, that was a very old text that already I remember when I was a little boy. It's written in there, Shezeh HaMamer B'Shem Rab Yitzchak Shemevi Rashi, Eino Muskor B'Shum Medrash O Talmud. There's no source for this. There's no Medrash. There's no Gemara. There's nowhere that you could point to and say, oh, that's where Rashi took it from. Skip to the next line. Ella, Shezer Rabbi Yitzchak, Hoya Aviv Shel Rashi. Who's the Amar Rabbi Yitzchak in the first Rashi in Chumash? His father, Rabbi Yitzchak. He doesn't say Amar Avi Mori. You know, it's a kind of a little bit forced, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. But the reference, according to the old text that the Taz, when he was a little boy, saw, is a reference to Rashi's father. V'lohaya lamdin gadol, and he wasn't such a big Talmud Chacham, Rashi's father. V'Rashi rotzo l'chabed aviv, Rashi wanted to honor his father. U'lahaskiro b'tchilas chiburo. He wanted to mention, wanted to show respect. So he's ready to write his commentary on the Torah, and he goes over, Dad, I'm writing a commentary on the Torah. I want to put you in. Here's something. So Dad says, why does the Torah begin with Bereishis? Perfect. Good. Great. In we go. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. That is what the Taz says. His father came up with this Gevalda Gechidish, that the Torah is not a storybook. It's a law book. It should have begun with the first mitzvah. Perfect, Dad, done. I'm going to put you in right at the beginning. The first words in my commentary in your honor will be Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rashi Ratzel Lachabed Aviv, V'amar Lo Sha'al Eze Kushya, V'echteven Al Shimcha. Ask any question and I'll quote it in your name. And he asks this question and he answers. So, very interesting. The Taz says this about his father. He says it could be plausible. But the part that the Taz continues and disagrees with is when this text said that he wasn't such a big Talmud Chacham. And the Taz says, what do you mean he wasn't such a big Talmud Chacham? Rashi and Avodah Zarah on the top right of the sheet, Rashi quotes his father in some favor from the sugya somewhere in Avodah Zarah. So don't tell me he wasn't a Talmud Chacham. He was a fine Talmud Chacham, but the story might still be a correct story. The Divrei David is quoted on the left side by the Sifsei Chachamim, also probably one of the most famous super commentaries on Rashi. And I leave you with a very interesting problem, and that is, lo and behold, as I learn and learn and I learn, it is a medrash. It actually is a medrash. If you look right below in the Yalkut Shimoni is a medrash. In Parshas Bo, you have it right here in the middle, towards the bottom of page 4. HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem, Amar, Rabbi, Yitzchak, Lohay Yitzarech Lahaskal HaTorah, Elomei HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem, V'lam Hischal Mibereishis. It's a medrash. So for a long time, I didn't understand, because it is a medrash. And then, I realized that it's a late medrash. So we think a medrash is like V'adab B'Shem HaMoshe Lemor at Har Sinai, Kosuv B'Medrash. You know, the Medrash says, like Moshe came down from Har Sinai holding the book, the Medrash says. That's the way our kids come home from school. They don't differentiate between what the Torah says and what the Medrash says. It's like it's all one mush. And it turns out they're different Midrashim. Medrash Rabbah, Medrash Tanchuma, very early. The Yalkut Shimoni was written after Rashi. So just file it away in case it ever comes up again in your learning and in your studies. The Yalkut Shimoni is 800 years after Medrash Rabbah and Medrash Tanchuma. And guess what? Where did it come from? Came from Rashi. The Yalkut Shimoni took it from Rashi and put it into the Yalkut Shimoni. So I never realized that the Yalkut Shimoni was so late. Problem solved. Shalom al Yisrael. Everything is fine. Rabbi Yitzchak could be Taka the Tata. It could be the father of Rashi. And it's talking not in any early medrash. The one medrash that we find it is taken from Rashi. Second issue I want to deal with for the remainder of this presentation. How would we characterize the methodology of Rashi, the exegetical methodology of Rashi? What is Rashi trying to accomplish in his commentary? So you understand very well that different Mefarshim have different foci, different interests. That they want to elicit different kinds of things from the text and use different methods to try to interpret the text. Now, it's hard to know that with regard to Rashi, because Rashi did not write an introduction to his commentary. So the Ramban has a Hakdama to his commentary. The Ibn Ezra has a Hakdama to his commentary. And the Ramban and the Ibn Ezra and multiple others, in their introductions actually lay out for us what it is that they want to accomplish in their commentary. Parenthetically, sometimes what they write is what they actually do. Sometimes what they write is not what they do. So they wrote it at the beginning, and this was probably what their plan was. And then when they got to Parshas Vayigash, and they got off the rails, and they ended up God knows where, and by the time you hit Tzav and Shmini, has nothing to do with what they said they're going to do at the beginning, because they grew a little bit. It's different. It's a couple of years later. They're in a different place. They weren't necessarily slavishly stuck. If a Mefarish generally sticks to what they say in the introduction, my working assumption always is that they wrote the introduction last. Who says they wrote the introduction at the beginning? I'm now working on a book. It's a little bit embarrassing, for over 30 years. So I'm finishing up the book, and then I'm going to write the introduction. So that happens. So if by the time I'm done with the book, I know what I did, so now I can write an introduction that reflects what I did. Problem with Rashi, neither of them are relevant. There is no introduction. However, there are a few places in Rashi's commentary where he gives us a window and tells us what it is that he wants to do. In other words, what I'm addressing now is not how does Rashi understand Pasuk X, but how is Rashi self-reflective in letting us know what it is, what is his agenda, what is it that he wants to do. So let's take a look at Rashi in this week's Parsha. Parsha's Bereishis, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Ches. The Pasuk says that Adam and Chava are in Gan Eden, and they eat from the wrong thing, and then they realize that they're inappropriately dressed, and God is coming, and they hide. Says Rashi on the word v'yishma'u, that is at the beginning of pasuk v'yishma'u es kol Hashem Elokim, pasuk ches, pasuk zayin. I can't even read what is ches, pasuk ches. Vayishmu es kol, Rashi has ches, so you can see it clearly. Vayishmu es kol Hashem Elokim ishalech b'gam. What is Vayishmu? Now look at Rashi. We're going to do a careful read of this Rashi. Yesh midrashei agada rabim. There are many midrashim on this verse that they heard God's voice walking in the Garden of Eden. Ukvar sidrum rabosenu al michonam, and our rabbis already organized them in their right place, the Bereishis Rabbah of Ishar Midrashos. So if you're interested in what the Medrash has to say, there's a library, you go to the library, you'll find it in the books that are entitled Medrash Rabbah. But Va'ani, by contrast, however, I, lo basi, what is my interest, in contrast to the Medrashei Agada Rabim, Va'ani lo basi elo lipshuto shel mikra, pshuto, the pshat of the mikra, not agada, but the pshat of the mikra, ula agada hamiyashevet divrei hamikra, and I am also prepared to entertain different agadot as long as they interpret, they explain the words of the text, davar davur al afnav. So if they davar davur al afnavify, I just made up a phrase, if they do that, then I'm going to let them into my commentary. So what interests me? Rashi here is not saying a word about what pshat in the pasuk is. What is Rashi doing? He's reflecting on his method. You want the Medrashei Agada? There's a lot of Medrashei Agada. So you'll find them, the rabbis put them in a book. But I, by contrast, I'm interested in a pshuto shel mikra, and when there is an agada that explains the verse, davar, davur, al, ofnav, that interests me also. Obviously the question is, what? What does this mean? It's not like an average word that we generally come across. Next Rashi, top of page 5. Rashi and Shmos. Terechav Gimel, Pasuk Beis. Pasuk says, Lo sihiyeh acharei rabim lira'os. Pasuk is a beautiful pasuk. The content specifically is not relevant for us. Says Rashi, Lo sihiyeh acharei rabim lira'os. Top of page 5. Yesh b'mikra hazeh medrashei chachmei Yisrael. There's a lot of midrashim of Jewish sages on this verse. Aval, but I am not going to utilize those midrashim because Ein Lashon HaMikra, because the language of the biblical text is not miyushav bahen, is not explained by them. Al ofnav, it doesn't ofnavify. If it's not ofnoving, I'm not interested. Once again, what is the touch point? Ofnav. Third Rashi. Back to Parshas Vayeshev in Sefer Bereishis. Perek Lamed Zayin Pasuk Beis Ela Todos Yaakov Yosef, etc. Rashi has a commentary. And then underlined, Zehu, what I said to you now, is Achar Yishuv Shuto Shel Mikra. The comment that I just gave you is in accordance with the Pshuto Shel Mikra, Lihiyot Davar Davur Al Ofnav. In fact, this does pass the Ofnav test, and therefore I am sharing it with you. Back to Shmos at the bottom, Shmos Yud Aleph, Pasuk Dalid. Vayomer Moshe Komar Hashem Kachatzos HaLaila. Right, we're now gearing up to get out of Egypt. Kachatzos HaLaila, says Rashi. He gives a commentary on the word Kachatzos. Underlined, Zehu Pshuto, what I said is the Pshat, Liyashvo Al Ofnav. I'm sorry that I don't have time to work through every single one of them, working out of what in fact Rashi does say in each one of these cases. My interest now is just to highlight the method of Rashi, and now we have 1, 2, 3, 4 places in Bereishis and Shmos where Rashi says there is Medrash. That's great, that's beautiful. You want to go find it, go find it. But Va'ani Lobati, but I am not interested in just Midrash, I'm interested in Pshuto Shel Mikra, and those agadot, or those midrashim, that pass the ofnav test. So if it passes the test, it's in. If it doesn't, I'm not interested. There's one final example at the top of page 6. In Shmos Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Va'ata Moshe Rabbeinu wants to know the ways of God, Va'ata im no matzas yichen be'enecha, Hodieni nos derachecha, says Rashi, the last two lines underlined in the middle of the page. V'rabboseinu dorshu b'maseches brachos. The rabbis in the Talmud explain this verse. But va'ani, however, by contrast, I, liyashev ha-mikraot, to explain the verse, al ofanehem v'al sidram bati. I came to explain it in its order, in its ofan. So therefore, I'm not going to quote what Chazal say in Brachas. You want to know what the rabbis say in Brachas? That's a beautiful thing. You should go and learn the Gemara. It's great. But for me, that does not serve my purpose, because my purpose is if it explains the verse, Al Ofnehem Ve'al Sidram. So we have 5 places where Rashi gives us a little tiny peek of a window into what is it that interests him methodologically. And of course the question is, what does that mean? So, to resolve this question, it turns out that Davar Davur Al Ofnav is a Beferish Pasuk in Mishlei. So I was very embarrassed, because for years I'm trying to figure this out, then one day I figure I'll go to Concordance, and out falls a Beferish Pasuk in Mishlei. Bottom right. Tapuchei Zahav, Mishlei Chafei Yud Aleph, B'maskiyot Kesef, like golden apples, Tapuach, apples, Zahav, gold, B'maskiyot Kesef, on platters of silver, is, or, Davar Davur Alofnav. Okay, so it's a pasuk. So that doesn't help me yet. What do I need to know? What do I need to know? Now I know it's a pasuk. That's great. Okay, so what does it mean? So I need to know. What do I need to know? How Rashi understands what it means. So what do I do? How do I find out what Rashi understands what it means? So I look at Rashi's commentary on that pasuk. I mean, it's as simple as that. And there's a Rashi on that pasuk that Vardai tells us exactly what Ofan means. Says Rashi, Davar Davor Al Ofnav, bottom right, page 6. Al Kano, on its foundation. It has to be rooted in the text. What distinguishes Rashi's commentary from Agadah is, and this is the way his self-perception is as he presents it here, is that you can only know to interpret the text information that comes out of the text. It has to be rooted in the text. Don't tell me that Rivka was 3 years old when this happened. It's not in the text. The only way you can interpret the text is if it's rooted in the text. So you have to be a linguist. You have to know Hebrew well. You have to know what the word means. The text yields the interpretation of the text. Nothing that is external, any knowledge extrinsic to the text, is irrelevant for Rashi in interpreting the text. Al Kano, it has to be firmly on its foundation. The Dugmatoni quotes another pasuk. Nasasi emecha afuna. There's a pasuk in Tehillim. Nasasi emecha afuna. What does it mean? Afuna, the same root. Mivuseses, it is based. Umiyusheves bikirbi, it's established. It is based and established. It emerges. It is rooted in the text itself. That's what it means. But my work is not done yet. Why is my work not done yet? Because Rashi quoted another place where the word ofuna ofanim is used, namely in Tehillim. And what do I need to do to wrap this up? I have to go to Tehillim, bottom left. And I have to see what Rashi says in his commentary on Tehillim. And it's actually incredibly amazing. On the pasuk, ani, I'm afflicted, I'm in pain, vegova mi noar, and since my youth, I'm already almost ready to pass away, nasasi emecha afuna. Rashi, afuna, miyusheves umivuseses emascha bilibi. My fear of you is miyushav and mivusas, is established and is rooted in my heart. That's how afraid I am of you, that it's rooted in my heart. Afuna lashon, full circle. Here in Tehillim, what does he do? He quotes the pasuk in Mishlei, davar davar alofnav al mechonav. There are three words that Rashi uses that are exactly the same in both of these commentaries. In Mishlei, kano mivuseses miyusheves. In Tehillim, miyusheves mivuseses mechonav. The confluence of both of these, the identity, the exact similar identity, is really so consistent. It's breathtaking to me that both of them are exactly the same. And here is the key. Herein lies the key to understand what Rashi is trying to do. Rashi, whenever he goes back, now we understand what he means, that it has to be davar davar lofnav. What does it mean, davar davar lofnav? Or ani liyashev hamikraot al ofanehem, or lashon mikra miyushav al ofnav, or zehu achar pshutosho mikra lihiyos davor davor al ofnav. We saw five different places where he repeats exactly the same method. It means it has to emerge out of the text itself. Don't tell me fancy stories. Don't tell me things that I don't know where you got it from. It's very nice. You probably got it from Chazal. I don't know where Chazal got it from. They got it from their Rabbeim. They got it from their Rabbeim. And there's a Mesorah. Very nice. It's all true. It's all beautiful. But that is not my interest as I set out and continue to comment on this particular text called the Bible. So, Chazara, three things. Number one, oh my God, it's amazing. 7 minutes after Rashi wrote his commentary, it's already all over the world. In a time when it was not easy for things to go from here to there. It's all over the world, and it becomes known as Hey HaYidiyah, the commentary. You don't even have to say a commentary of Rashi. So the popularity of Rashi is just electric. Very shortly after Rashi, it gives you a sense of how people value this. Second of all, who's the Amar Rabbi Yitzchak in the first Rashi in this week's Parsha? It's actually, I think, very sweet. You know, it's like varm the hearts. You know, Dad, I want to put you in. You know, I mean, even if he was a big Talmud Chacham. We don't have Chedushei Rabbi Yitzchak. We don't have anything from his father. So he wants to put his father in it. It's an act of filial responsibility, of filial honor. So Dad asked me a question, I'll put it in. So he puts it in. It's very beautiful. And the Alkut Shimoni, which is the Medrash, is later after Rashi. And the third point is to try to step back for a second from the details of Rashi's commentary on verse by verse to try to understand the big picture. What's Rashi's big picture? What's he trying to accomplish? Has something to do with Ofanayim, Ofanim, Ofnehem. And it's a pasuk. We know what the pasuk means in Mishlei. We know what the pasuk is in Tehillim. And it actually works very much together with one another. Have a good Erev Shabbos and have a good evening.
No, can't be. Told us.
Thank you. I'm going to make sure I'm here, though.
I want to add one final point. Actually, two final points. First of all, our work now really begins because we need to go through Perish Rashi Ala Torah and try to understand all those places where he seems to be violating the principle that he established in this concept of Davar Davur Alofnav, that it has to be Pshat, and he's not interested in Midrashei Agadah that don't keep to that principle. So, for example, in Perek Yud Alef Pasuk Chav Ches, in Bereishis, the Bramaschal Pnei Terach Aviv, he has the Medrash that Nimrod threw Avram into the Kivshan HaEsh. That doesn't seem to emerge out of the biblical text. Even what I mentioned about Rivka was being 3 years old, it's a Rashi. Perek Chav Hei, Pasuk Chav, Dibra Maschel Ben Arboim Shana. I would even say that this very first Rashi, the very first Rashi on Chumash, also is not in keeping with this principle. Doesn't seem to be addressing an issue that emerges out of the text itself. So a lot of work needs to be done. What does Rashi really mean? Is he serious about this? Does this something that's meant to apply in all cases or only in those places where he does apply it to those five or six places that I mentioned? That needs to be addressed. The second issue that I want to address is the Magen Avraham at the end of page 3 in the handout. The Magen Avraham in Siman Reish Pei He Sivkot Gimel says, why do we follow Rashi and be able to read Rashi to count for Shnayim Mikra Ve'echot Targum? Shnayim Mikra Ve'echot Rashi. Says the Magen Avraham, Shehu Iker, Shehu Bonui Al Yesod HaTalmud. What does the Magen Avraham mean? That Rashi is Bonui Al Yesod HaTalmud? Is that really what Rashi is based on? Or, on the contrary, Rashi is not based on the Talmud, but he's based on Davar Davur Alofnav as the material emerges from the text of the Torah. So the presentation until now is a haschala. And now our job is to figure out how this plays out in the totality of Rashi's commentary al HaTorah. And I invite you to consider, what does the Magen Avraham mean by this comment?